You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Very Passover appropriate prayer.
I think kind of tricked us. I'm not talking about no God of Israel.
That's what I'm saying.
God of America.
Well, it's okay this week.
Even the Christians think God is the God of Israel. I got that from Psalm something.
Nah, we don't.
One of your people's books.
Believe me. We did research.
No, I did the research is what I'm saying. And yeah, you guys don't even know your own Bible.
But you guys are the only ones emphasizing that. We don't want to discuss that shit.
It's in your Bible.
No, but it's in there. Yeah, but we're kind of, whatever, Israel. You know.
Oh,
yeah.
Go eat some bread.
Bread. So good. And pork.
Is that an insult on Passover week, telling somebody to go eat bread? Well, go have yourself a loaf. Have French toast for all I care.
You're allowed to eat bread.
Do you know why you guys eat? Do you know why that is?
Yes.
You do know the story?
Yes.
Because we're the worst.
Right? Because we have to remember how much we've suffered. It actually says in the Passover guide thing, you know, you're supposed to do that for the Seders, follow it and do all these prayers and blah, blah, blah. It says that every year you're not only supposed to retell the story, you're supposed to actually feel like you just got out of Egypt yourself and were just whipped by the Egyptians. We're just, you know, the whole thing. You have to feel it like it was you, not like it was other people.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, really sinking that shit in.
What's the guide? What's a Passover
the thing
guide?
That I showed you, the little book? Yeah, that right there. It's the Seder book.
Okay, so I have the Seder book.
But the unleavened bread, just quickly, you know why? That's the thing. It's not just about suffering. Is that you guys had to leave quickly. You didn't have time for your bread to rise. But yes, you're taking the fucking bread. Escaping all those years of slavery. Well, get the bread. It's not ready yet, but let's...
There's no need to waste. I don't know why you would do that. The fact that you think that unleavened bread isn't good enough for you. I don't know who you are. We were just slaves over there. He won't eat unleavened bread.
Well, I'm looking through this, the Passover guide. And right in the middle, coupons.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Save a quarter on Kugel. That type shit.
Look at this. Brought to you by Gold's Condiments. Right on the cover. Not exaggerating. Your Passover guide. You have your commercial on the cover. Very good.
No, well, you're reading it like it's in English. That's the back of the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You read it the other way? Oh, you're kidding.
Hebrew starts the other way.
Yeah, you think God read backwards? I doubt it.
I doubt it. They celebrate Passover a little different in Egypt, I bet.
Oh, shit. Right? They go to the memorial museum.
Of their firstborn. The day God slaughtered our children.
I know, and we're supposed to remember how we suffered.
You remember how you suffered. Mm-hmm. They remember how they used to be on the rulers of the world.
Right, right.
They had it all.
Great job on the pyramids, by the way.
Oh, no problem.
It shows what slave labor can do. Get excited about the pyramids, just like a $5 pair of shoes at Walmart. Slaves.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They did good work, giant triangles.
Yeah. Hey, that's what we were told to do.
You were told to do something. Make it out of something. You're like, listen, we're not going to put a door on it.
Well,
be very clever.
Isn't it like a big thing that Jews should not be at like Home Depot? And, you know, we can't do these things. And that's who you hired as slaves.
You guys were like the Mexicans of Egypt.
Yeah, except we're no good at that stuff.
They do like to walk around going, a Jew's trying to do something.
Yeah.
Right? I'll ride a horse. This old Jew.
Think it's an act. They don't want to get enslaved again.
That's
so
right.
Like, we don't know how to build.
I said, can I
That's
cook?
My Jew accent, by
That's
the way.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to cook tonight. Do you mind cleaning? She goes, this old Jew. Touch a dish. Like, it's...
Don't you understand? I was a slave. And by you asking me to do this, it's not good.
It's practically a hate crime.
Ask a Jew to do anything.
Yeah.
Speaking of books, by the way, Twitter has an idea for getting people to read. Twitter, the company itself, is going to put out a book club, Twittering a book, a line at a time. So everybody's reading the same book.
One line at a time, what, one time a day? What year is this? Are we listening to the radio for stories?
It's the year of ADD. One Twitter at a time. And you should be able to follow a book. I mean, you're going to follow that Twitter, then see my Twitter. Moby Dick took a big shit today. Mm-hmm. You're going to get confused.
It's an interesting chapter.
It's a horrible idea.
That's really stupid.
Let me mention this also, speaking of books. Scott Sigler,
you can start pre-ordering the book tomorrow. So get on that, because for the first month or so, he's going to give you a discount if you use the KTG code.
What's
the
book?
So go to It's called The Starter. If you go to scottsigler.com/thestarter, it's right there. You can pre-order it amongst all the other people. He's doing a short run for the pre-order, so get it now. scottsigler.com/thestarter. And while you're there, get The Rookie, because that's the book before that. But get it, but use the KATG code. This is the guy that got us our book agent and always pushes our show and our book. And so we want to support scottsigler.com/thestarter.
And where do you put in the KATG code?
It says use put in your code. That's where you put in KATG.
All right. I went to the to pick up my air medicine. I've been having this weird air problems a while ago.
For a couple years now.
Is it a couple years?
Well, do you remember that it started right before we went on the cruise?
I know I was camping and I pulled fungus out of my ear.
You are disgusting.
Yeah, this is like a big black thing.
You've heard about this.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
It's a talk in New York.
I heard it lives. It comes out and crawls around.
I looked at it. I looked at the old picture again and magnified it. It has teeth. Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's actually your twin coming out of your ear.
Something's happening.
Your unborn twin coming out of your ear a little at a time. So that's my diagnosis.
It's been
that's better than any doctor we've been to. You really? At least have an answer and a response to us.
They don't.
They just shrug.
They don't give the same answer.
Yeah.
Some say antibiotics. Nah, I wouldn't do antibiotics. I'm like, shouldn't you talk to everybody else in your office?
They're so lax about stuff. They're like, I wish I could tell you what to do or
right
or where this is coming from. And we're sitting there like, we're paying you, so we wish the same thing.
Yeah, but if it was a serious thing, it would be identified by now.
That's not true.
I think so.
No, it's I like some, how you believe new, in doctors.
What, do you think it's going to be the Keith Malley disease or something? And they'll
that's
be,
the good news.
You get a disease named after you. You're gunk.
Well, you know, they go, I'm going to give you this medicine. It probably won't work, though. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And you're just so fed up of being in the room. Okay. Can I have what does work? Ah, who's to say? Okay. I got the doctor from The Simpsons. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll prescribe something for you, but...
So I go in. I go, okay, you know what? I'm going to get this medicine anyway. It's better than nothing, I assume.
Well, and we've been doing the homeopathic version, which really is half water, half...
Vinegar.
Vinegar.
Yes. Don't put water in your ears. Take this half vinegar, half water. That's fine.
They tell you not to put water in your ears?
Yes, but put water in my ears. Mm. So it's a little confusing.
Well,
so
you're three flushing drops at it, a time. Yeah.
Flushing it.
Okay.
Well, don't you go to the doctor and don't they clean it all out?
They suck it out.
Okay.
But who knows?
Lot? Is it like a lot?
Yeah, it's gross.
Like the size of your thumb?
No, but there's enough. Mm. There's enough. There's the tiniest black particle they'll get.
Oh.
But,
and then they'll say, you might want to make an appointment 2 weeks from now. And maybe...
be a little more definitive.
Mm.
I'd love to see you. That'd be nice. So,
what's it smell like?
Wax, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I smelled it.
No biggie.
So I go to check out this medicine. I'm like, I don't want to use something homeopathic. I want something a scientist figured out. You know, something with Red Bull in it. So I get this. They tell me it's $185. And I said, I'll take the Obama special. What's that? What's new out there? And they said, no, it's $185.
And that's for the generic version of it.
Yeah, and I said, the doctor doesn't even know for sure. I'll just stick with the vinegar and see how that goes. And the pharmacist hears that, and he goes, this is almost the same thing. $185 for vinegar.
Yeah, that's $200.
So I'm like, forget it. So I'm back to water and vinegar, and we'll see if that helps.
But it feels so stupid standing in front of a pharmacist and discussing, hey, do you want to get healthier with this? Or no, let's just skip it. It's $200. It just feels dumb.
Right.
Just buy it. It's medicine that's been prescribed by a doctor.
That's also the second. He knows it's a scam, too. That's also the second place I went to pick up this medicine. The first person I go to.
Mm.
Just that. The whispering that wears you down and makes you dumber, makes you give up everything. Or I'm like, do you have this? I don't have insurance. So how much is it? And can I pick it up right away if you have it? Damn. I'm assuming that wasn't for me, and I'll just wait. Ebisol? I'm sorry? Ebisol. Is your name is what I'm picking up? Wait. Oh, come on. I need this. Come on. Is that the medicine that I want? If you want it. Like, if that's the medicine on the paper, I will take that medicine, yes. Ebisol. Like, I don't know what's going on. Malley. So I'm spelling my name now. Ebsol. We don't have it. Okay, I guess you don't have my medicine. Come back tomorrow? Will you have it tomorrow? Do you want us to order it? Okay, just to recap. We're talking about my medicine, and you can order it for me tomorrow. Is that what you're saying? Ebsol is my medicine? Ebsol. Okay, I'll probably just go somewhere else. If you want to. you're speaking. It passes right to me. If you want. I think it's deliberate. They wear you down until you leave. Kendra's waiting in the car for me. I go in the car. She goes, how much was it? I'm like, I forgot to ask again. They just make you dumber. I'm like, you're going to keep doing this. I'll leave.
And don't you need some kind of schooling to become a pharmacist where you're, you know, a human being that can relate information?
How do you get the job?
I don't know.
How long are you out of medical school? How long have you, or out of any kind of schooling? How long have you been a pharmacist before? Have you worked for Rite Aid? Store. You're hired. Let's start Thursday.
Store. You just said store.
You know, I keep saying I'm going to do this, and I will, just to see if I can get the job. I tried to apply at Rite Aid, not as a pharmacist, but at Rite Aid being
you
one of these.
You should have tried out for a pharmacist.
Right.
Aim high.
But I'll try being a deli. I mean, I'll try these, you know, a stock boy. I'll try these things when money was tight, and I wasn't getting hired. But you have these people walking around. Windex. I said Windex. Windex. Okay, forget it. So how did you get hired? Is that cash or dib? Well, come on. And I can't get hired because I'm speaking full sentences. And I will. I vow to you. I will go in. Do you have a resume? I always do. No. Then they'll give me a form to fill out. You know, one of those homemade, you know, the pre-made resumes, job application. I'm going to eat it. And then they'll be like, that's weird. You ate it. And I'll go, eat. And I'll start working. And I won't show up, but I'll still have the job. And I bet checks just come in the mail.
Because you got yourself on some kind of Teamster thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I have a job. Now I have a job for life. Mm-hmm. I'm in there. You know, it's 24 hours. I'll go there late. There's no line, anything like that. And you'll have the security guard on the phone. And then the cashier says, well, why didn't you tell me this guy was waiting? And the cashier and the security guard, you know, looks at the cashier and goes, phone. And points to his phone. Then goes back on the phone and he's talking to his bookie. He's doing whatever. It's like, well, but I couldn't get hired.
I know, but I can imagine you at the interview. You're taking everything.
I didn't have an attitude. I took it very seriously.
No, I know. But the thing is it's not like you have an attitude, but you're so straight about things that I think they're not used to it.
Oh, can you imagine?
No, I understand that. You're the same way. I've seen Keith wait tables. He's the same way. You would think he'd be like, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But he is just, what can I get for you? He'll write it down. He'll get you exactly what you want. There's no fireworks in it.
To be clear, they're not hiring me because I don't have personality. These people don't have personality.
I can't argue this.
Yeah, they're not scary or threatening in any way. You know, people are threatened by intelligence. Well, people like something kind of stupid and kind of dumbed down and kind of just like easy to fucking be with and shit like that. And, you know, it's not you.
I've used the bathrooms in these stores, and you know, I'm talking about Rite Aid, but it's any of these crap shitholes. And I'll you know, be in the back room, and you see these signs that, you know, you can't steal anything today. Oh, I can't steal. Okay. That you had to be told you can't steal from us, you know, if you work there. That's what I should have done. Like, have you had, do you have experience at a Rite Aid before? Do I have to wash my hands after I use the bathroom? Like, you do have to wash your hands after you use the bathroom.
Oh, my God, because in my last job, I had to wash my hands, so.
I can do that. Must wash hands.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right, must wash hands. Start tonight, I assume? I'll be late. Okay, but I didn't offer you the job. Popcorn. Okay, now I did. You're in. Good Lord.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just left, and then I'd be like, kind of like, well, you should. It's a bigger Rite Aid than anything else around here. Just, you know, do you want to go back and order? I'm like, get out of here. I just got to get the fuck out of here. There's ants in my brains. They made me dumb and made me frustrated, and they won. I don't. My ear will fall off. I don't give a shit. Okay, what do I need it for? A talk show?
Right.
I do the talking.
Don't need ears.
What? They just make you fucking stupid. Oh, well. So I'm a little dumber today. The I saw this picture, by the way, of Jesse James, the guy that was married to Sandra Bullock. And look at that.
Oh, that's
yeah, he's
nice.
All tattooed up, of course, and he's doing the big shocker. He's doing the Nazi salute with a Nazi hat on, and his fingers up to his mouth, like making a Hitler mustache. Ha ha.
Oh, well, you know, I mean,
yeah,
that's
after fucking... people are saying he is.
This is after.
No, I mean, he didn't just do this for the paper. It's in Us Weekly, but of course, he didn't do it for that. He did it in like 2004 as a private picture, but he did it with and then his what the other girl, the main girl, that Michelle Bombshell that he cheated, he cheated with. She supposedly is a white supremacist.
Oh, right. She's got, what is it, WS on her?
WP, white power. Something's going on. And she says, no, that stands for white pussy. Wet pussy. Excuse me. That stands for wet pussy.
White pussy.
White pussy. Either one.
Right.
What's the difference?
It's all about the white pussy. My favorite.
She didn't. She goes, oh, was those white power meetings? No, I thought it was for white pussy. And I had one. So I said, I put my right arm out. I said, yay!
He's not actually making a mustache. He's smelling his fingers.
Got myself some white pussy today.
Got a little white pussy on the old...
I like what I like. But yeah, that's a little weird. I don't know. You know, yeah, I think he's into that.
It's clearly done. It's clearly for humor, though, right? In the
why
photo?
Do you for humor? Do you have a Nazi hat for little jokes and skits you do on stage, Pat?
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows where that photo came from? Somebody tossed it to him, and they're like, "Hey, Nazi!" What? I mean, I'm not.
And
saying
he's like, "Oh,
Nazi.
I must take a picture." All right, now I gotta go back to West Coast Choppers.
Well, I mean, he is kind of like a you know, that rebel persona and all that kind of shit. He's not gonna be told he can't do something like that. And fuck Sandra Bullock anyway.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What'd she do?
Well, she's full of Botox, and you can't suck a dick in that condition. It's impossible. You know what I mean? You can't smile. You can't slurp on a knob.
And then you can't smile while slurping on a knob.
I did think that those tattoos, even though that's too many tattoos for me, you knew that they were better in bed than Sandra Bullock.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, she's no good in bed. And she's got too much power in this fucking world to be good in bed.
I'd bang a Nazi. I bet they get crazy. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got to watch out for the, you know, flying hand, but...
If you had, like, a girl with, like, red panties with, like, a swastika right there on the front, that would be pretty arousing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be like, well,
would
this...
Would it? Two white man talking? It That's would, nice.
It, that, no, it, that? No, you know it's wrong. That's what makes it... We know it's wrong. It's like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's wrong and your own lives are not threatened, so go for it. You guys aren't saying anything amazing. You're white, and there's a Nazi thing on our underwear.
Yeah, we're not afraid.
Well, we're
yeah,
not, you're afraid. Not afraid. We just know this is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they don't really have it together, you know. So they can flip out on us.
Or if there was like a Star of David on her panties, and that still we'd be like, that's wrong.
I don't know. Maybe
you know, that's fucking wrong. Right. Fucking a Jew.
They can have a cross, for God's sakes.
Yeah, this is wrong.
Just anything religious or ceremonial. I'm saying, if you can get that together, Henda.
Yeah. There's really no difference in a Star of David and a swastika.
It's all lines.
They're both wrong.
This chick doesn't like me. I had this friend in high school, Patrick Oliver.
I'm sorry, before you continue, yeah. Shug Bear is saying, excellent use of the color printer, Jesse James Nazi picture. Spare no expense. We were talking about how much we spend on ink, and then somebody was saying, get a laser printer, but I think that's only black ink.
Right.
And we're like, no, we need color. And we were very adamant about it.
Now you know why. You got to see these tattoos in color to understand what we're dealing with. Huh. You know, I don't need a black and white Hitler. I'm not going to understand the gravity of the situation.
No.
He took the time. We took the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a friend, Patrick Oliver, and he lived right next door to me. And nothing crazy. I just remember, like, we got into trouble.
In Somerset, Pennsylvania.
And he's overseas right now. And somebody,
just
Michelle
Beach. Like the rest of Somerset, Pennsylvania?
Right. Michelle Beach, we went to school with her, and she said, she wrote on her face. Sometimes I'll look through the news feed, you know, when it's dump time. And she wrote, happy birthday, Pat. Hope you have a great day. And that's when, of course, I have to write stuff. And I wrote, we all have birthdays. Then his wife got mad. Mm. And I think this is his wife, Melissa Oliver, and says, you know, Keith, that's kind of a rude thing to say, considering that Pat is spending his birthday deployed in a third world country, and he's not at home with his family. So I wrote back, I wasn't raised right. And I'm glad I left your shit town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that what I would really be doing to somebody? I would go, damn, we all have birthdays, fuck you.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I never met his wife, but that's really what I'm saying. Fuck you and fuck your birthday. You know, Keith, he's overseas. I only celebrate American birthdays.
It's kind of ridiculous with the fucking Facebook, how you get, we're adults going back and forth like kids.
Right. Well, if you love them, send them a real letter. Don't Facebook your husband. I'm the bad guy. I didn't not blow him today.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She probably feels guilty about an affair she's having while he's over there.
Yeah.
You should write that back. Well, at least I'm not having an affair with him.
You know what? I will.
Yeah.
My phone, she might get a break after all, though. My phone won't turn on. It just stopped. Screen's off, and it'll sync and everything. There's your Macintosh.
It'll come back on.
Okay. You know what? Do you work for Apple or Rite Aid?
Phone.
iPhone. It'll come back on. Okay. You know what? You made me so dumb, I don't care. Okay, well, done. Fucking done. I'm in the, of course, the Somerset County newspaper. Even more far and away were the top news story on their website. More than 3 church fires from my hometown were more popular, the story of Keith and the girl. Very exciting. And they mailed the actual newspaper.
Wow.
Here it is. Compare that to the size of a New York paper. It's very interesting.
It's called the Daily American. You can go to dailyamerican.com.
You open it up and boom, that's me.
Yeah, there's the picture right on the, as soon as you open the first page, and our logo, Keith's picture. Very, very, you don't have to look for it or anything. So now I'm wondering, do your parents not read your hometown paper?
Somerset native entertains audience through podcast. And, you know, in big bold underneath the picture, Keith Malley, a Somerset native, started an online podcast called Keith and the Girl with his girlfriend in New York. The show has more than 1 million downloads a month. Isn't that nice? So, you know what? That has to get back to my parents. It has to.
Right? Maybe we should wait until Sunday. They go to church. People right. congratulate them. And you're still not going to give them a heads up, are you?
No. There's little, just in case they don't get it, there's a little circular inside. And whew, let's do some shopping in Somerset. It's worth a drive over.
Yeah. Dollar General store. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we put a poll up. Should Keith have done the Somerset newspaper interview? And your choices were yes, he should be proud, or no, he should have spared his parents. I talked to my parents recently. An hour, 33 minutes I got. But I was thinking, like, do I have to do that? You know, spread the Keith and the Girl world everywhere. But could I spare where my parents are? They're proud of what I've accomplished. They're not proud that I talk dirty. The book, of course, is adult or dirty, whatever you want to say. So, you know, do they need to check that out? So I never mentioned the book. In fact, I would say, I would almost slip. I'd say, oh, we're doing this 3-day, 76-hour marathon podcast. Like, well, how are things going with the show? Like, oh, good, we're doing it to celebrate the booking of guests that we have, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know what the results of your poll were. I'll tell you my results, and I think these are the definitive results.
Okay.
I think that you should do everything you can all the time to promote yourself, because what fucking your parents are just two people at this point. They have nothing right. over you. Like, trying to appease them or please them in any way is a complete waste of fucking time. Live your life, do what you want, everywhere you want. It's your hometown, too. They right. don't own it just because they're there 40 years ahead of you or whatever. Fuck that shit.
You're right. And I'll tell you something else.
It's actually not their hometown.
I would do, that's true. I would do, yeah, it's more mine than theirs. Now I'm angry and I just made the whole thing up. I would, you know, NBC puts us on for some interview. I'm not going to go, nah, come on. You know my parents only have 3 channels. Do I have to be on those 3? I can go on Spike.
Yeah, you can go do True TV.
Well, most people did agree. It's fine. I did it. Yes, he should be proud, 96%. But there were 4% of people said no. Give your parents a break. But you know what? Pat's absolutely right. Now, he's a little more bitter than me somehow about his parents. That's true.
But didn't you also go through the same thing? I don't know. Because are your parents religious or anything?
Oh, yeah. They don't really. They say the same shit. We're glad you're happy or whatever. But they're not really glad for what I do or whatever. Proud of it in any way.
For a while, were you not talking to them about it? And now you're out more?
I tried doing a show. When I did Star Search, I was going to do Star Search. And they were going to do this whole thing where they talked to my parents in the hometown and all that shit. Right. And they were going to come to a show. But then Star Search was like, at the last minute, they're like, you know what? We're going to go a different way. So I wasn't getting the show. But I'd already invited them to come. So they come, and it was fucking horrible. And it just, I you know, because I was trying to clean up, I was trying to appease and everything, and it was terrible, and I was like, never again.
And all for your parents.
Yeah, because I didn't want them to feel bad or whatever.
But weren't you saying you didn't do it after all, and then you're saying you tried to do an act that's not you?
Yeah. I tried to clean up and be...
They recorded the show, and then they went in a different direction. So his parents were already invited.
Well, no, I wasn't going to be, like, on Star Search. Right. But they... I didn't explain it very well. They came to my town, and it was going to be, like, the first time his parents ever see him perform. That was the angle for the background bullshit for the show.
Oh, and now you're just going to perform, period.
Right. Yeah, just at a club.
Okay.
So they came to that, the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, and it was just fucking terrible. And I was like, why would I give a fuck?
Was that the turning point? Anymore?
Yeah, it was when I was like, I'm never going to ever. And they had never come before. I'm like, they're never coming again. But I mean, my parents are 70s. They're in their 70s. They live in the South. What the fuck? Why would they like my act? They're not big Attell fans either, you know?
Right.
Or Marc Maron or anybody.
That fella.
And I will compare myself with those two comedians.
Yeah.
On the same level.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
What are you going to do? Take out a calculator and figure it out? I probably am.
I love how we were arguing with Pat in his own head.
Right. We were agreeing. So anyway, this guy sends me this letter. His name is Franz. Franz Obermeyer. And he's a big fan. Loyal Keith and the Girl listener fan from Canada. And I think he thinks he did us a favor by doing this.
Yeah.
Tiffany, he wrote, he sent this to me. He said, here's a bit of a correspondence with Tiffany Wright from the Daily American. This is the nice, very nice lady that did this article in the paper on us. And he wrote her because she's very approachable, very easy to get in touch with, you know, these small papers. Tiffany, great job on the article with Keith Malley of Keith and the Girl. I listened to the phone interview and you seemed very nice and genuine. Yes, you were recorded, in parentheses. I recorded it and I put it up for people. Well, you know what? I would think if you're... I have enough haters. This is a fan of mine going, yeah, you should know you were recorded. Well, now I'm going to have to stop recording these interviews, and you're going to be upset at me and not understand why. That's a lot. Yet, it wasn't even you were recorded, and I guess that's a matter of fact. You know, you don't got to cover for me. But you knew you were being a little dickhead by going, yes, you were recorded. You should know.
Yeah.
And no one gets more of that. Now, remember, this is a fan. These are people who like me. There are just a few things I think I should warn you about before you listen to today's show, either titled 1152 or 53, which I think you should. They will be judging your article harshly. You did spell Hemda's name wrong. You left out the D. You stated that Keith finds doing stand-up regularly with new jokes difficult. His one rule is that you'll never hear the same joke twice from him on stage or on air, and has nothing to do with difficulties in writing new jokes. Then in parentheses, he does have problems rating jokes, but he likes to keep that a secret. Shh.
Fucking asshole.
Jesus.
I don't even know what that is, but yes, tell a reporter to keep a secret. Very good.
This is how those other stories get leaked. Wow. Like, a friend of Sandra Bullock is telling us.
Right. He's a source now.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Also, he wasn't kidding when he invited you on the show. He talked about you in a few episodes since the phone interview. He'd be happy to talk to another like-minded individual who escaped Somerset. Stay strong in Somerset, Franz. Again,
first of all, Franz,
a loyal listener.
Franz has the wrong information as well. Franz, if you're going to be reporting to a reporter, we didn't say if you want to escape Somerset. She wasn't raised there. She just moved there not long ago.
And she finds it too conservative for her. It's for somebody with a family, and she's too young now.
And we didn't talk shit about her that she needs to so listen to. And by the way, thanks for making it harder to get into the paper again next time.
Right.
Yeah, you work to build these connections, and then some asshole, it's not even his business, you know, he has to try and fuck that up.
And I understand if you hate us. This is a fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to shake my hand, look me in the eye, and expect a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I followed up with Tiffany. I'm friends. Come on, let's take a picture. I'm friends. Been sending you emails for days. So here's what she wrote back to him. Friends, I wasn't aware that the interview was recorded, but thanks for letting me know, I guess.
I guess.
I feel awful about the misspelling of Hemda's name. I've written a correction to run.
Yeah, which we also stated. He didn't mention, thanks for... We mentioned that she apologized to me, that she offered to apologize publicly. She changed the stuff on the website. She offered to change everything.
I'm sure she probably didn't like it. I don't really know how I feel about being mentioned on the show, but I guess that's the way it goes. Haha. Thanks again for your email. I really appreciate your comments, Tiffany Wright. So I wrote him, and I said, do you think you were on our side, Keith? And he said, meh, I'm a shit disturber.
What?
So, I don't even know. Like, does he know how wrong this was?
I don't know. Shit disturber?
I'm a button pusher.
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I'm a button pusher. Why aren't I invited to parties? I'm a button pusher. Yeah. How come nobody likes me? I love pushing buttons. That's what I do. I'm a shithead.
I'm just going to rattle your cage a little. No big deal.
Hey, if you can't take this, Keith, I don't think you're ready for the big time.
I'm just pulling your chain, man. Come on.
It's only your hometown newspaper. Calm the fuck down.
God damn.
You didn't even care if you got it.
What are you so worried about? Man, fucking you piece of shit newspaper.
You're going to need a thicker skin, buddy.
Look.
Anyway, your pal. Your pal for life. Big fan. Big fan.
Right.
What? Oh, Jeremy's saying that Matt from the Jam Hole emailed her about it, too.
Good.
Fucking, do you guys know what positive, the difference between positive and negative?
No.
It's not just a nerdy thing for you people.
You better watch out about spelling his name wrong. These people are going to get vicious.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? Okay. Oh, well. Last night, we were at Comics, and we saw Jesse Joyce and Pat Dixon perform stand-up.
As a battle.
As a battle.
Yeah.
The Pat versus Jesse battle. I hosted. I was fantastic.
You really did a good job.
Did a great job.
Was it okay?
You did a fantastic job.
I honestly
it was better than okay.
It's hard. I'll tell you something. It's tough being an opening act.
It is that.
Being the warm-up crowd, you know, I'm like,
Well, it came very unnaturally to you. We were backstage. Right. The music starts for the show to begin, and I'm like, that's you.
And I'm
like huh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, now? And they go, here he is, you know. And then the introduction, and I'm like, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Hi. But, it was a lot of fun. It's just, These people that, and I'll tell you who won the contest, by the way. A lot of people know. I keep forgetting to announce it. My annual stand-up contest. These people got it tough. I mean, it's a very welcoming crowd, but they got a tough job. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Oh, this is, you're going to tell us the opening act for your April 15th show, who won.
Yes. And that winner, by the way, I'll tell you right now, Mr. Scooter the Funny.
Woohoo!
Could be retarded. We don't even know.
Scooter the Funny?
Scooter
That's
the Funny.
That's opening for you, Pat Dixon, April 15th.
Good.
You and Keith.
All right. Looking forward to meeting Scooter the Funny.
And it's good to have an opener that's professional. I've said this before. I have the professional, then I have me, then I let somebody win the contest beforehand. Maybe you didn't even do stand-up before. So Pat has a hard job, too, because he has to be ready in case this person throws up on stage and runs.
Yeah, they might
be. All of a sudden, he's the first opener.
Oh, for tickets for this, go to keithandthegirl.com/tickets. If you get your tickets ahead of time, you save money. Also, there are links, keithandthegirl.com/events. The 15th is the big Keith stand-up show and his birthday party. We're going to have cake afterwards, so stick around. And the 16th is match game. Pat Dixon will be one of the panelists. We have two different panels of only Keith and the Girl guests, and bingo follows that. One admission for all that. April 17th, we're going to screen Keith's... the movie that Keith was in called She's Crushed, and then we're going to do a live show with Keith and the Girl guests on that. That's April 17th. Once again, just one cover price for all of it.
Let me mention this also. For all three, those three events, 15th, 16th, and 17th, you can't bring outside beverages, and you can't come pre-intoxicated. You can't come in drunk. The places won't allow that. But, of course, drinks are going to be served there, and that's when you can get fucking stupid and drunk driving after. They don't care. But
not at all.
Ahead of time, you can't be an asshole.
Yeah, all three venues will have alcohol on the inside. Just don't bring it in with you, including inside your body.
So, anyway, here was the winner of last night. A very, very big upset. Ray DeVito ran in with a folding chair and won it all. Incredibly surprised. Good
that
play.
That would have shocked me less than what actually happened.
I think you know now. Jesse Joyce ended up winning.
Unfucking believable. Unbelievable.
We collected the votes and saw whose name was circled the most. And by four votes, Jesse Joyce beat Pat Dixon.
And it's so funny to see him on Twitter being all magnanimous. Like, oh, that was a really good competitor. Four votes, Jesse. All right, let's not break out the fucking gracious winner routine.
He was more.
For four fucking votes. Really?
Oh, you guys have to follow both these guys.
Oh, man. Hey, yeah. Nice try. You know, someday, four votes. Okay, it's a fucking, that's a breeze blowing by, four votes. That's nothing. Carmen didn't even vote. My own girlfriend didn't realize that it was a real contest. And then by the time you guys were collecting, because that's Carmen, you know, it's a contest. Oh, a real one? You mean, it doesn't really register. I love her, but that's the way she is.
Never mind, I couldn't have made a bigger deal out of it to the audience of being a contest.
I've been talking about this shit for weeks. It's a contest. Oh, I thought you were just saying that. So she didn't vote.
The price of ink today? We wouldn't have printed these out.
Right. So by the time you guys were collecting ballots, in her mind, it was such a fucking strong differential, the difference in the way we were received by the crowd, the response. She was like, oh, I mean, he's going to win anyway. So, I mean, why would I bother? And the same thing was thought by the friend of mine. It was really unbelievable, the difference in the response.
Right.
I had 3 times the audience response.
Your friends are on...
Minimum.
Are as on... caring about things as you. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. Or they only vote once if they do vote. I don't know. Right.
They already voted for Obama. Not, yeah.
At any rate, though, great show. I thought it was a great show.
I enjoyed seeing you guys. I can only see so much. But I did get the tape from these people, and we'll turn everything into a Keith and the Girl TV. And, you know, so I'll be able to watch it then. But what I've seen was fantastic, and everybody loved the show.
And let me tell you something about being on the other side of things, about being in the green room. It's my first time, first of all, in usually if we're in the comedy club or in the club in general, Keith is backstage and I'm producing, so I'm in and out. But being backstage at comics, that's got to be the best backstage thing ever.
I would say it is.
I feel very catered to.
Although... it's a cool club and very nice people, but when you're backstage at comics, I noticed like another comic or two just came in to drop by. Mm-hmm. Now is that what happens at comics, and is that ever unnerving? Because I'd have to put a sign up and go, no, I'm thinking.
Well, it's more casual generally because it's like a showcase show. If Dave Chappelle was there or something, you know, whoever the fuck is there. Okay. But if Pat Dixon and Jesse Joyce are there, they might drop by. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but Keith, also, your experience isn't the same as every other comedian. Pat has his shit memorized for a while now. You're doing one show. Your nerves are shot because of that. I don't think Pat was nervous.
Well, I know. I did a lot of new shit last night. I mean, some stuff that was first time out of the gate. And I was a little bit, I was wondering if it was going to work. But I've done that a lot, you know. So I mean, like, even if you do that stuff, I mean, it's still once a year, even though that's a very intense experience, you know, once a year. But it's still a once.
But
a
if
year
it was
thing.
Like your HBO special, maybe people would go, "All right, we don't need to go backstage now."
Yeah. Kevin Bartini wouldn't just drop by and plop down on the couch.
So this guy you're talking about didn't respect you that night.
It wasn't a matter of respect. He told me he was coming by.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't say he was just going to walk into the green room. I was a little surprised that he did that. Because there were a lot of comedians who did that after the show.
Right.
When it's all cool, they'll just come back. You know, I mean, you notice that.
Yeah, that's
the whole flood.
Does Dan Allen pop into every green room all night? He just goes from green room to green room?
Dan Allen's very seldom in a comedy club. Yeah. I was surprised he was there. Generally speaking, you know where he's at. It's like somewhere in the East Village someplace, you know, with his own thing. Doing, you know, his stories and shit. Talking about his family in Florida.
Well, I'm looking at we have videos of people interviewing. Kendall was interviewing the audience before and after the show, and
I got the response right after the show was ended from Pat and Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense"? Other than Haley,
I
would be shocked. Everybody was like, "What the really?"
You think there were shenanigans?
I was like, "Well, what do you mean? You know." You think I should have won? Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, well, who did you vote for? Oh, I didn't vote. I left myself out.
Jeremy's saying I was afraid to vote because I'd be called for jury duty.
He didn't understand the voting process.
It's anonymous, first of all. It's not like you're going to be held accountable for your vote.
You never know. Well, I'm looking at some of these, and we had a section for comments, of course, because we knew that could even hurt more.
Oh, good. Good. Can't wait.
Here's one, Pat Dixon has circled, and it says, but Jesse winked at me, so that was nice. Hope that wasn't your lady.
No, she didn't vote.
All right. Pat Dixon comments, cute as a button.
Nice.
Pat Dixon, I couldn't take a drink while Pat was on. Nice dick outline, by the way. Heart.
Oh, Newsy.
That was probably Newsy.
Oh, Newsy.
Pat Dixon, he's so dirty. Ha ha.
These are all votes for Pat Dixon, you're saying.
These are votes for Pat Dixon, but I'm only reading the ones with comments, and it seems most are Pat Dixon. Naked Treasure was written in comments. That was for Pat Dixon. Do you know?
I think that's Matt Bray.
Is that a joke that you did?
I mentioned. I used that phrase, naked treasure, during one of my jokes.
Is that about the vagina?
No, it's about a gallery magazine I found in the woods.
Do you think that maybe Jesse is more, what's the thing? Like, you're
Leno-esque? Yes.
Yeah, you're a
he's more of a Jay Leno type.
You're a pretty harsh comic.
Right.
You do not hold back.
Exactly. And so when you have 35 minutes of nonstop laughs, people are a little intimidated by that. They want to hear longer setups. They want to hear stuff they can kind of just settle into, and every once in a while go, that's kind of fun. That's what they want. They want something that they... Because I was told by one guy, a Jesse voter that I talked to after the show and I hung out with, and he goes, wow, you know, I should have voted for you because at least you're nice to your fans and
oh,
the
come
people.
On.
I'm not shitting. It was Jesse that guy sitting at our table.
You cannot take away that Jesse is super nice to his
fans.
Well,
he must not have been very nice to this guy because this guy regretted voting for him. And, you know, and I tell you his name. He's a comic book writer. I'll tell you his name in a minute, but he came to the show. You remember?
He came to the
his name's Lucas.
Right.
Lucas the comic book writer.
And that's what we call him.
Yeah, Lucas the comic book writer.
The guy that was sitting across from you when we were having burgers?
Yeah, and he's like, you know, yeah, he goes, you know why I voted for Jesse? He goes, you know, because I had kind of a hard day, you know, my boss yelled at me and stuff, and Jesse's just kind of nice, you know, and he had this kind of neutral kind of energy. His words, kind of a neutral kind of energy. He goes, you
could
came on
he
stage,
be just trying to get you to like
and
him?
And it's like, you were kind of like, you know, I was intimidated. And
was intimidated.
That's what he said. He was intimidated.
Can I tell you a little story about that guy? I interviewed him both before and after. Before mm-hmm. the show, he said that he was going to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the show, he was the only one I talked to that got swayed. People seem to be very adamant about who they think is funnier before the show.
Yeah. See, I think that's what it is with Jesse, too. A lot of people know going in that they're just like, he's the guy in the white hat. That's the way I vote. Mr. fucking, you know. Mr. fucking, you know.
People were saying, though.
Super comic or whatever it is they think.
What
Mr.
was it?
Mr. fucking hasn't written a joke in a year and a half. Minimum.
People that know Pat were saying it's better for Pat that he lost.
If you want to know
show
was like, the first half of the show, take Joyce to the world, press play. That's the Jesse part of the show.
Okay.
My show, you'd have to watch what you guys recorded and everything. I don't even know I did. It was fucking brilliant. I know that.
Prince Valiant was there last night. He said, I've been thinking about it, and it's probably best that Jesse won last night. It's better for both their careers that Pat remains suicidal and Jesse continue to think he's God's gift to comedy.
Is the word won in quotes? Because it should be. Four votes. Jesus.
So here's one circle for Jesse Joyce. Pat usually's my favorite. Very hard to choose. Too many masturbation jokes. So
that's Haley.
That's Jesse's girlfriend. Pat Dixon voted, but then it says your Passover joke sucked.
Who said that?
Do you have a Passover joke?
I opened with like I don't know, 3 minutes of brand new solid Passover material that absolutely killed and resulted in an applause break. So fuck that Jew.
Somebody wasn't pleased, but look at this. It's another Pat Dixon vote, and it said skip on the Passover jokes. But to be honest, the letters and jokes look exactly the same. Pasat de Chendle.
Oh, this is no secret that some people voted more than once. I mean, come on. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's
they voted for me twice. You're right. They do look the same. Your Passover jokes sucked. Skip on the Passover jokes. But maybe Jews all write the same.
Maybe that.
A handwriting expert would say these are the same dude or chick or whatever because this is a little embarrassing.
Will I pass that to Kanda?
Yeah, I will. Notice, though, the third letter, it's an S, but they both look like E's. They both look like E's.
Who was the funnier comedian tonight?
Five votes. Give him five. He won by five.
Who was the funnier comedian tonight? There's nothing circled. It says, as my dad used to say, I hope they both lose. Super funny, boys. It's a
fucking
draw.
Dick.
Here's one. No vote. I'll email both of you my comments and critique. P.S. Did Jesse make a Crocodile Hunter reference? Who was funnier tonight? Pat Dixon was circled. Comments? Poop.
Those are my people.
And who was a funnier comedian tonight? Nobody was circled. They are equally unique and entertaining. I do not find one to be more superior. Enjoyed both. No, nobody wanted to hurt feelings.
Yeah. There was a lot of that going on. Like a lot of the back of the room, the comedians who came out were all, you know, very supportive.
Some people would tell Pat, for example, and I heard it from Pat, I'm sure the same thing happened to Jesse, hey, I liked you much better. In fact, I liked you head and shoulders above Jesse. I didn't vote, though. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only you're going to know. So in your heart, that made you sad, but you can say you were head and shoulders above instead of just circling something.
I don't know. Why not participate?
So how's this,
that's what the whole thing's for.
What's going to... Anything changing now?
No, it's fucking same old shit, man. I mean, like, this is not a surprise that people like that shit. You know what it is?
You knew you were going to win.
I knew I was going to win. Right. I was completely convinced, but that's the true believer in me, and that I've been always squelching. You know, people are like, cheer up, think positive. Well, this is what happened.
Before it started.
You know what I mean? A fucking disappointment. And a ridiculous, really. I mean, think about it.
Before it started, that's how Pat's talking in the green room. To Jesse, I'm going to win hands down, no joke. And if you were new to this, you'd be like, oh, that's comics, he's joking. He's not joking. He's not, like, I will win. We're not close. I'm above you so much better. But we'll do this fun, dumb thing. So this really blew his mind.
I cannot believe. I am thunderstruck.
Well, Jesse also admits that, Pat, you're further along in your career, right?
I wouldn't say that, no.
That's what he... I think both of you were once on the show, and Keith asked, you know, who's further along in the career?
You have more comedian credits.
I mean, I have a half-hour special, but, you know, he's got other stuff.
He has a...
So I wouldn't say that.
He has a girl that apparently loves him.
Right, who will, you know, write his name on a piece of paper.
Not even, just circle
once
it.
In a blue moon, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. It's just like it's always been. And people, this is what convinced... If I didn't win that, with the response being that polarized...
You're very happy with the results.
I'm saying...
That you did.
My first laugh that I got was bigger than his three biggest laughs combined in his whole 35-minute set. And I mean that literally.
Pat had a laugh meter behind the scenes.
But it was, I don't have the laugh ears. I mean, it's fucking easy to tell that it was, and it was like that pretty much the whole show. Because the laughs just got bigger for me. You know what I mean? They started off huge, and then it was just the whole time. It was a great show. And it had an arc and a theme, and it was about shit. And Jesse did his whole fucking, I don't know, gay beekeeper. And it was a crayon and Batman and shit. You know what I mean? He did the same old fucking... Is he behind me or something? He did the same old shit. And it was kind of... Of course, it kind of laid there. We've heard it. So if I didn't win that, then he can't be beaten by me. This is not going to happen. There will always be people... I mean, why bother? It's going to be the same. No matter how many more laughs I get, it's one of those things. It's just like they're never gonna go with it. Even though they are voting with their laughter, saying we think you're fucking hilarious, they're still gonna go at the end of the day. You know what? Yeah, but Jesse, I don't know. The world just fucking sucks Jesse Joyce's dick for some reason, and I don't know why.
That's why I've
always tried to figure that out.
Why is everybody sucking him off?
Why is everybody tickling Jesse Joyce's nuts while passing on me, you know?
We should next time have a secretly, what's that? We should have it on the laugh meter.
I hate the laugh meter.
No, but nobody knows, you know?
Right, okay.
You know, it's not like at the end of the show, whoever claps the loudest or something.
Yeah, because if they knew, they would show up for Jesse's show and go, ha, 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 ha. Never heard that one, ha, ha. But Jesse's very talented, and I do support him in everything he does. I really do. He's a good friend.
Yeah, like I said,
introduced us to us and to you guys. I mean, so I'm very happy to know you guys.
Well, I think I said on stage, you know, don't be my friend this way. Yeah. Okay, let's stick acquaintances.
You know what? Jesse's true talent is writing roast jokes. He's brilliant at that. He's so good at that, and I could never do that. I could never.
Do you know
what
an insult that is?
What?
He has this talent of roasting jokes that he can do. And he's good at that. Now, the balls to put out a CD or think you can headline a regular club, let alone be in it.
Right.
Or valet.
Well, people respond to him and they like him. Right. So, I mean, I can't argue with that. It's like the Leno thing. You know what I mean? He has twice as many viewers as Conan ever did or Letterman. It doesn't mean he's better. It just means that retards enjoy it.
If he's given props and he says, Pat Dixon, you're a very good comedian. And you say, well, Jesse, you rate for Greg Giraldo very well.
Uh-huh.
Would that be an insult? Yes, it would be.
I'm saying he's very talented. He's very talented.
Well, on a slightly different note, what did you think of Keith? I know Jesse was giving you props for...
And he doesn't give props.
He does not.
He's upset at me.
He doesn't give you credit for being a stand-up. In fact, he doesn't give me credit for being funny at all.
Right.
See, I don't think
he's
Jesse
always surprised
thinks I'm
by
funny.
You.
Always. I don't think... Not that I'm calling myself a stand-up or anything, but he never says anything like, oh... And if this one time he said... Hamda, you were funny. And I'm like, can you not look at me so shocked when you do that? I have a show.
Right.
I get that Keith is the funniest human being in the world. I will give him that. Hands down, I don't want to have a competition or anything. I know he's the funny motherfucker. But Jesus Christ, you don't have to act so surprised.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why there's a lot of people running around with Jesse Joyce tattoos, you know, so.
He sent us.
Let's talk funny and fans and shit.
He sent us both a text that was like, oh, you know, thanks for, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everything was cool, you know, fun times, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of it, he said, oh, and Keith, very funny. It was to both of us. Why?
Well, you didn't appear on stage. I mean, you
know. I was on stage at the end, and I think that I got a couple of laughs. Maybe, possibly. See, I don't think you see it either.
No, you're always funny. I think you're hilarious. Mm. I've always, I mean, you guys have a great chemistry, and you're funny on your own, and I laugh
I'm
at both of you guys all the time.
I'm not trying to fish for compliments.
No, you're good.
I just think
no,
it's hilarious.
You're good. We like you. You're
oh,
good.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Well, I see what Kent is saying, being the man on the show. And we're equal co-hosts. Being the man on the show, I'll be looked at more in the eyes when a guest is on, not because I'm leading a conversation. Hemda, who I believe is very funny, I wouldn't do the show with her, will say something, and she'll get this look sometimes from a guest like, oh, mind-blowing. A woman had humor?
I also have seen, you know, Keith and I sometimes write together, not his stand-up, but we write together, and then he tells the jokes, and mm-hmm. people have seen me give him the joke and then him perform it and go, you know what, Keith, that was really funny. I'm like, my goodness, I can't, I'm completely invisible and mm-hmm. whatever. You know, it's just, I know that that's going to be ongoing forever. I know that it would just, it. I just need to like let it go. It's just funny when it's so in your face.
Well, now you know how Jesse Joyce feels when he writes for Greg Giraldo, the one good thing he can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he doesn't get the credit.
Well, no, I think
Jesse will end up on those roasts, and he'll end up doing a great job. He'll end up on the Comedy Central roast at some point.
Will you write
he'll
for him?
He'll write for his own. She'll write his own stuff, and it'll be great. I can't write that stuff. I'm not. He's a very vicious person. People don't realize this, but he is.
Oh, we realize it.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
That was half this whole idea last night.
Yeah,
I realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and on that same note, I was also going to say that Keith gets the opposite of that. Like I get. Keith gets all the credit for being funny, but I get all the credit for being nice. When if Keith will say something nice, I'll get a letter saying like, oh, it was so nice of you to say that. I'm like, I didn't say that. Keith said that. So everyone's just listening to whatever they want to hear. Whatever. I am a nice person.
You know that thing where you go to hell, him to go to hell or whatever?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Hell.
And then basically you're doing the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right? It's all Keith doing the talking. And that was all off the cuff, right?
Yeah,
I wrote it half hour before, literally.
You wrote it? You didn't write it.
Probably not word for word, but the idea.
I thought of it.
Oh, okay.
But it was great, but you're laughing your ass off.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your laughter on there makes it funnier. It really does. And okay. Your comments, your asides, and
it's
shit like that.
It's like saying he writes really well for roasts.
Right.
It really is.
Wait, are we talking about the...
I don't know. I feel like I'm in couples therapy, for Christ's sake. I can't say anything right.
I don't know why. Nothing bad is happening.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, we don't care. I really don't care as long as Keith thinks I'm a good co-host. I don't care. I just think it's funny.
I think it's hilarious.
Like, I date a female comedian, you know, and she goes through the same insecurity thing, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, Kendra's not saying she's insecure. I'm saying...
No, I'm reading that in.
Oh, I see. But what's weird is I do get... Kendra will finish singing on stage a song. She's one of the greatest singers.
And people come to you and say, God, Keith, that was a great song.
That's what's strange. Exactly. They congratulate me, and she's like, come on!
Actually, after Jesse saw me, I did that musical that you saw it? Or did
yeah,
you get it?
I came out. I came to four shows. I came to four productions of that.
Well, after Jesse saw it, he came after me after, and he said, I finally got to see what your talent is. And I was like, thanks.
Now that's condescending. That's the kind of condescending
thanks.
Shit.
But he meant it really well. He's like, wow, this is what you're good at. I finally got to see what you're good at. I was like, wow, I do something else 5 days a week. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm going to guess you do.
It's really Keith that does it, though, right? I mean, his name's on the bill.
Someday you're going to earn Henda on the logo.
Whatever. Don't give me the praise. Give me the money. KeithandtheGirl.com/donate.
We had a poll.
Jew. Mm-hmm.
We had a poll.
That was
up.
Funny.
Oh, my God.
We put a poll up, men only. Have you asked a complete stranger out on a date in person? Somebody's asking, how do I meet chicks? I'm like, you just do it. You say hi. Here's the line. Hello. Mm-hmm. And you talk. And I think most men haven't done it, according to this
Have
poll.
Have you done it?
What's that? Approach
just,
a woman?
You ever approach a woman
oh, yeah.
that was a total stranger?
Many times.
And you asked her out?
Not that big of a deal.
There you go.
When did you discover it was not that big a deal? Because there is a turning point, I think, for men.
I mean, like, I walked up to, the girl that I married in high school, I just walked up to her and started talking to her.
But you were high.
I was stoned, yeah. That might be a key.
You know what? I was just curious if guys did this. And by the way, 83% have not. And I'm almost surprised it's not higher.
83% have not.
Have not. I'm not surprised in the least.
That's huge.
17% have hit on a girl stranger. And the ones that have, by the way, do say, yeah, I did it all the time when I was drunk in a bar. You know, that's almost another poll. Have you ever done it sober?
Have you done it sober?
I have done it sober. Yeah, I've done it on the street.
Oh, yeah, you have. That's right.
But, you know, I know that's very, very rare. I wonder how many of the 70% were sober. But, I'm not surprised. 83%, sober or otherwise,
you know who
have never hit on a woman.
You know who doesn't listen to our show, then? Those people are like, hey, mommy.
Right.
Those guys, they have what you need.
Well, I don't count that. I think our listeners know I didn't count catcalling. I didn't count, hey, honey, while you're speeding away. You actually thought you might get somewhere, even if you doubted it.
Oh, my God. Yes, bend over. Yes. Here's my phone number.
So, and I said, all guys listening, if you've never done it, by the end of this week, do yourself the favor, a little challenge I put out there, and hit on a woman. Ask a lady out that you don't know in the least. You don't even have to get the date. You just have to sincerely try. And when you sincerely try, you're going to expect it. And you have to have that mentality. Go out there, and I'm telling you, the world opens up whether she says yes or not. It's a whole new
thing.
Well,
you don't ask her out. You get her number or something like that.
Well, sure, get her number.
Listen, So
put on a fake voice.
A fake mustache. Go hang out on a street corner, read a newspaper in a trench coat.
Just do it however you do it.
Well, it's not that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal, but I do understand why it seems that big a deal. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know, it's like my parents said. What are you going to do? They're going to say no?
Right, but it's a big deal. I remember when I was even talking to the opposite sex, I would just be all kinds of nervous, and I don't even have to be the one to approach. I looked down. Uh-huh. I couldn't look up at them. It was ridiculous.
You got to have that backup plan. If they won't give you their number, then just say, well, then in that case, we just suck my cock. Just have something like that.
Why
so
didn't
you win
all the votes last night?
I don't know.
It's weird.
I don't know.
I heard you talked about some woman in the front row's vagina for the last 10 minutes.
You know who that was?
Sense.
First of all, that was hilarious. Everybody laughed at that. Anybody who claims to be offended at all those funny pussy improv jokes is nuts. But that little girl, she's not a little girl, but she was at one time. She's actually from my neighborhood back in Tennessee, where I grew up.
What?
And I ran into her on the street randomly on 25th Street, and she's living in New York now. She's really successful and shit. And I said, come to the show.
Wow. And then you talked about her pussy for 10 minutes in front of her date.
She said something. I forgot what it was. But she was asking for it.
Quit it.
She laughed, and I didn't know how to take that. So I had to punish her. I had to talk about her vagina. A man fell to his death from the Empire State Building here in New York.
What?
Yeah.
On purpose?
A young man took a fatal plunge from the 86th floor observation deck of the Empire State Building. I get on tall heights, by the way. I'm so tempted to jump. Mm-hmm. I don't have suicidal thoughts at all. I really don't. But I get to a high place, and I want to jump so bad. I'll not even like Empire State Building high. I remember being in, when we saw your brother, I was in Hollywood, and I'm at the Man Chinese Theater. I don't know what it's called now, but in that area. Mm-hmm. And it's a mall there, and you know, you're going up all these steps, and you get a little high, and I look down. I'm like, I can just kill myself. This is amazing. And I get that urge. Well, anyway,
I know what you're saying. You know what? I get that in my apartment. I live on the 5th floor, and sometimes I just want to just crawl out the window and fall off the side. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, that'd be weird. I don't know if I can live somewhere that's not the first or second floor.
Eventually, you have to jump. Curiosity.
It's something.
It's hard for me to spend time alone.
I hear
because
you.
I will like look at the. I get preoccupied.
It's more I get bored, and I'm like, well, I don't want to eat again. I'm not really hungry.
Yeah. I already jerked off 3 times.
Right.
Guess I'll jump out the window. That's what your suicide note says. I jerked off 3 times. Out of Oreos. Fuck it.
This again. This case is closed. The jumper managed to get past the 10-foot-high spiked fence. Now, yeah, if there's a fence like that, then I'm done.
Well, that's effort to kill yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
A jumper managed to get past the 10-foot-high spiked fence, ringing the observation deck. It is very easy to get over. And then disappeared below the outermost ledge around 6:15 p.m. He landed with
Nobody's seeing this?
He landed with a sickening thud on a sidewalk along West 34th Street. Listen to this. Mm. Went right through a penny.
Very good.
Yes, very good.
That was very enjoyable to me. Mm. Well, thank you, comedian.
You put those words together and they made funny.
I recognize the analogy. Surprising.
It's you let him in
that.
One.
I put it together in my brain. I think others will too.
Penny.
Because, to be clear, I do think Jesse explained a joke to an audience.
I called him out on it, and he said that was the point.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and
then he explained that. Never ended.
God.
Then I think I just took a seat on stage when you guys were bickering at each other. Jeez. That was my favorite. I'm like, what took so long? So let me tell you something. You go to Pat Dixon's website, Pat Dixon Comedian.
Comedian Pat Dixon or youaretheenemy.com. Doesn't matter. Same thing.
Go to the one that actually goes to Pat. ComedianPatDixon.com.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's just, you know, I think because Dixon, D-I-X-O-N, sometimes people fuck that up. People, before we started the show.
No, I mean, I said the wrong website.
Oh, okay. Because people before the show were spelling his name with two T's.
Right. We threw those votes away.
Right. Those are out.
So go to youaretheenemy.com.
And you're going to see where Pat can perform. And let me tell you something. The funniest guy. You'll love him live. His CD, I've said this before, I'll say it again. In my top five CDs, Goodbye Forever Fatty, I love it. He's the only person, I've done six DVDs so far, and we're doing, like Kendra was saying, keithandthegirl.com/tickets, we're doing the seventh one, April 15th. Pat is the only person I've ever, ever asked to open up for the second time.
And you threw a challenge to him.
Yeah.
He has to do an all new 10-minute set that has never been performed before.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little. It's fun. It's a different process, and it's really exciting to go up with it. You know, I mean, I've been kind of putting it together, and it's weird. As I was coming up on the show to do on the 30th, I'm like, well, how much of that new shit do I want to do, and how much do I want to save for the 15th? You know, because I wanted to have something special or whatever. So. Kind of split it. There's some new things. And I mean, obviously 10 minutes worth. I guess I could just do a lot of crowd work. Is that allowed?
Do whatever you want.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'll do. What a nice shirt. Where do you work?
Just leave them laughing the last minute. That's all I care about.
Don't worry. They'll laugh.
You could have a seat for 9 minutes. I don't care. But that last minute.
Well,
I need them howling.
Come see us on April 15th, April 16th, and April 17th. All the information is on keithandthegirl.com/events. The April 15th tickets can be bought right now ahead of time and get them while they're cheaper. keithandthegirl.com/tickets. Thank you, Pat, for being on the show. You're
Thanks
awesome
for having me. Give me a chance to straighten all this shit out.
Also, you can see Pat doing stand-up at keithandthegirl.com/TV. And you have the 100 for 30 episodes where a comedian's got $100 from you, the listener. And if you donate $100 in a certain amount of time, they'll perform 30 minutes of stand-up to myself or me and Hemda. I think that day is me, Hemda, and Kyle.
It's a very unnerving set.
Yeah.
And it's five times the normal pay in New York City.
But five times the pressure when there's nobody in the room. You'd think it'd be easier, less people to cater to.
And
it's
so
not always
you were,
true, actually.
You were with Jesse Joyce for your 100 for 30. And
back when you were pals.
And you guys won a CatGo award for it.
That is correct. And I gave you something.
Shows what we can accomplish when we put our heads together.
Uh-huh. Well, I have right here. I know we gave you something earlier, but this is the official second annual CatGo Award winners. Only your name on it. No Jesse to tarnish it.
There we go.
There's the winner, Pat Dixon.
The logo on the back.
Beautiful logo on this frosted pint glass.
That, man, whoever does this stuff is really, really talented. Thank
His
you
name
much.
Is I'm In You on the forums, and he also does our Keith and the Girl pipes. And he just does it to support. We give him Keith and the Girl merchandise. He gives us these awards and pipes, and he does a really, really great job.
Fantastic. It really is. This will be a pleasure to drink out of this, and thank you very much for
Congratulations.
Passing this along.
You didn't really turn back to drinking because you were so sad last night, did you?
No, I resisted the urge.
Well, let me tell you, if you have a chance to see Pat Dixon, like I said, see him. He's fantastic. And make sure you pick up the CD, also available on iTunes.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com. That's your buddy Jesse Joyce, Pat.
Yeah, hey, Jesse, what's up?
How are you, guy? How's
man,
it going?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, I wanted to tell you, great job last night, man. I mean, seriously, it was fantastic. It was one of the best sets I've ever seen you have.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Thanks. That's very nice.
Mediocre, but it was...
You know, I thought about it a lot in the last, 24 hours, because, I don't know if you know, I've been up the whole time. I just got to Kentucky. I've been driving since we last saw each other. And you don't really have to leave town.
Oh.
I said it was a leave town match.
Yeah. I was pretty confident going into that vote, I tell you. I would say usually the crowd response is commiserate with the voting, but I guess in this case, no.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to call in because I was curious as to what kind of crazy horse shit you were going to be spinning it this afternoon.
he mentioned that while him and his friends, or his friends and his own girlfriend, didn't vote for him, he implied that there are shenanigans with you and your girlfriend.
No, I came in and said I should have won. I got a huge response. I did much better than you, and I accused your fiance of cheating.
Right, okay.
That's the...
All right.
I don't hear any denials, okay. So...
Did your girlfriend fill out more than one ballot, Jesse?
Fiance.
No, she did not. And your girlfriend did not vote for you?
Well, she didn't vote for you. She thought that... Okay, now she didn't
your
really...
Your girlfriend voted for you.
No, she didn't vote. She didn't realize it was an actual contest. It's Carmen Lynch. She didn't realize it was an actual contest. And then when the ballots, when they were saying, oh, well, the ballots are ready, we're taking them, and she realized it was a contest, she was like, oh, well, that's all right, because he fucking, clearly it's going to be a clear victory for Pat anyway. So she didn't bother. But then when they were like, well, it's a 4-vote differential, everybody was like, oh, God, Pat only won by 4 votes? That's weird.
Right.
But thank God, and then it was you, and it was shock. Absolute shock.
So if we don't count Haley's, then I only beat you by 3? Is that how we're going to count it?
Actually, well, somebody voted for me twice, so it's actually 5, and then -2 for Carmen and Eric, plus about 9 comedians who would have voted for me, but so you only won by -6. Something like that.
No. See, the comedians abstained because they considered it to be a draw, is what they did. So we only have to count the votes where, like, people
really?
Actually, like, favored one or the other.
Really? Okay. I'll let that go.
It sounds like you're letting
it
go.
That's enough. You know what? This war must end. Not really, but for now while you're on the phone.
No. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, so, yeah, just, let's be cool, and then you can continue to post bullshit about me on your Twitter page.
Yeah, hey, man, that's 1,100 people who expect that shit.
Who has?
Oh, really? Oh, so
I know you have more Twitter followers than me. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
For me, maybe.
I'm sure. Well.
Anyway, I had a great time, and you guys were all funny.
It was one of the best sets I've ever seen you have, Jesse. Really.
It just sounds bad.
Yeah.
Jesse, listen. Do you take this as an insult? Here's a question. I just want to know if you take this as an insult. I think you're very talented at writing roast jokes. I could never do what you do with roast jokes. I'm very impressed. Always have been. I think it's a real skill you have. Do you take that as an insult?
No, but it's what you're going to follow it with. It is.
No, I'm done. That's all I have to say.
P.S.
Now,
if
you would use some of that writing ability in the rest of your act, that would be my only suggestion. Just take that and spread it into, maybe. A costume party that you went to 11 years ago is not really the closing bit anymore. But it's just a thought.
I heard you do shit that you've been doing for decades.
No way.
I believe it's on your first CD that you made in your, about 22 years ago in your early 30s.
Dixon to the World?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. All right, well, congratulations, Jesse.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
I'm just glad that we can now finally put this silly challenge to rest. And, like I said, Pat, you can always open for me anytime you want.
All right. Good luck on Leno.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for calling, Jesse.
Hey, thanks for all the work you guys did. It was very cool.
It was fun. Thanks a lot.
All right. Later, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call. It was good. It was good competing against you last night.
Enjoy Kentucky.
I will indeed. Yeah. Take care. Be well.
Peace. There you go. Some closure.
Good night.
Jesus Christ. You believe that, dickhead?